Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by Joe Bisagna, Regional Sales Manager at Calibra. We're going to talk a little bit about... I forgot to introduce Aaron. How rude of me. I'm also joined by Aaron, and I made this joke already today, but... You know, this is a probably released on a different week. His personality is just a little bit flat today. He's a touch under the weather.
If you're not looking at this on video, it's a cardboard cutout.
he's very lifelike, if two-dimensional.
Very good.
Today we're going to talk about, we'll try and avoid puns for the rest of this, but I apologize. I can't help myself. We're going to talk about basically helping... build business acumen in new SDRs. Now, Joe, you hire SDRs right out of college, right?
Usually the preferred SDR profile for me actually is somebody right out of college. And candidly, there's some other things that I look for. I've worked with both. Sometimes in a complex B2B sales environment, there's a preference for somebody that's had some sales experience, maybe not in a complex sale, but they understand the mechanics of selling. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that's a preferred role too. For me, I like somebody fresh out of college, but I have hired a number of reps that have been salespeople or that have looked at other opportunities first prior to coming into a complex B2B sales environment.
Gotcha. If you're hiring reps directly out of college, Why the focus on training them up on this business acumen? Don't they come from business school? Shouldn't they know all this?
Yeah, I will leave my opinions of the higher education system to a differently themed a podcast. I do think that some folks are learning very interesting things in school. I don't think that, at least in my experience, or students or SDRs that are coming from a year or two of sales experience have fully understand how the customer business operates. I think that they're getting some fundamentals on things that you're supposed to learn, like how to do basic accounting, how to put journal entries in a logbook, for example. They're not understanding how businesses actually operate. And that's what I'm finding anyways. And it's a really important thing for us as we look to use a really important role, an inside sales rep role or an SDR role, to actually break through the clutter rather than pitching our product, but talking about the customer's business. So it tends to be an area of focus for us when we're developing new talent into our business to really understand that customer's business.
Tell me more, like why is this so critical for them to understand the general business atmosphere surrounding your customer?
I think for a couple of reasons. I think one, we've become obsessed with this thing called scale, and because of which there are a number of other competing SDR teams that might not even be competing in your job market trying to get to the same executive. And there's a lot of product focused messages, emails, voicemails, if you've got a good SDR, that look and sound like all the same, even though they're pitching very different products. And I think too, people intrinsically want to understand that if they buy your solution, you're going to be helping their business. And a really easy way to show that up front is by at least showing and documenting that you at least have a hypothesis as to how their business operates and how your product or solution is going to solve a very specific problem for them. And that in and of itself builds trust, it builds rapport, it cuts through the clutter, and it lets the customer think, wow, these folks really want to do business with me rather than just do business.
Okay. So I see sort of the idea of behind, you know, this is why we might want to do this. But if I'm sitting here with a fresh batch of, you know, college grads, where can I start?
Yeah. Big mistake to avoid, actually. I've seen it done in ways in which were very well intended, but the process of teaching business acumen, you know, wasn't done in the best format. And very particularly, I think it's not a teaching exercise, it's a critical thinking exercise. And I'll explain what I mean by that. I think that we're great in this era of sales acceleration, in this era of SDR-led outbound organizations, of teaching them what a sales cadence is. I think the sales organizations are great at teaching them how to use sales technologies to help them automate parts of that process. I think we're great at teaching them the features and benefits of our product as they learn our complex technologies or our complex solutions that we're delivering to the market. We're not great at teaching them how our customer's business actually operates. So the way I've seen it done, very well intended, but not something that can scale, not something that's repeatable, is usually a top performing SDR will say, hey, I'm ready for the next step. I need help. I need to understand my customer's business better. Can somebody help me? And then sales takes that back to a customer success team or a support team or a delivery team and say, hey, you guys are the experts. Can we get some help? And can we talk about what our customer business actually looks like? And what happens is sometimes, Colin, a meeting gets scheduled for 3 weeks later. It's half attended. And rather than teaching our SDR teams or inside sales teams about the customer's business, it's a lot of case study presentation. And the case studies are delivered in the lens of, this is how we've helped this customer. Great content, great understanding, something that we're not teaching the SDRs or an inside sales team en masse, but not really helping them understand what the business challenges that customer might be facing.
So it sounds more like you're just learning to recite a story, learning exactly to tell stories, which isn't a bad thing.
It's not,
but I think what you're saying is it's not the end goal, right? We're not just here to tell stories. We're here to engage.
I think storytelling is very critical to sales. I think it's part of every great salesperson's sales game, but I want the folks on my team thinking about the customer's business. And I want them getting to a point where they can come up with the answers. They can come up with their own hypothesis-led sales model. And they can do that in a matter of minutes rather than waiting for 3 weeks for some subject expert to teach them what that is. And so we came up with a process like that. And we actually fell backwards into it, Colin. We didn't sit in a conference room with a whiteboard and plan out what the ultimate process would be. I had an SDR in my team who was doing great. She was in role for 3 months. She did great in her first month. She did great in her second month. She overachieved in her third month. And then her fourth month, she was at severe risk of missing her number. And that was very uncomfortable for her. She had blown it out of the water in her first 3 months. And all of a sudden, when she's supposed to be hitting ramp, all of a sudden she looked like she was about to miss. And she was very smart. She raised her hand and said, hey, I need help. And we said, look, if you're having problems now, it's not because of anything that you've done wrong. We've given you messages that are starting to fall flat in the marketplace because you're doing everything correctly in terms of what we can see in your sequences and cadences. So we took a very different approach. I said, look, let's you and I pick a vertical or an industry that you and I really want to work on together. And let's pick one dream account within that vertical. And we picked one. And I said, great. Now you're going to go do research for 48 hours. And let's just say it was a noon on a Tuesday, we had this meeting. I said, by noon on Thursday, you're going to put a meeting planner on my calendar. You're going to run that meeting. And I want you to show me all of the research you've done on this account. I want you to show me the named executives that you want to reach out to, minimum of three. And I want to see the tailored pitch that you've written for those three named executives, right? And we set it up as a critical thinking exercise for her to actually go do the work, go do the research, and come back and pitch back to me. And there's some intricacies in that you and I will get into in a little bit, but it wasn't me sitting in a room saying, here's a case study. It was me saying, you need to go do a critical thinking exercise and then come back and present back to me what you think the story might be.
So you're just taking one of her accounts and say, okay, let's pick this guy or this company. We think they're the highest priority. Now go off and do some research, come back, show me what you've learned.
Yep.
Any more guidance than that?
Absolutely. I think do research is the most broad, most generic, most undervalued advice I think that sales leadership is saying to sales teams right now, right? I think in the era of the insight-led sale, I think in the era of the challenger sale, I think we're all saying, tailor your messages. And our reps are coming to us and say, how do we do that? We say, do research, and we walk away. So what we had exactly problem solved.
Sprinkle some research on it. Like, no big deal.
And where are you out of quota? Right. Right. So like we were failing our teams, and this was en masse, right? I saw this, in client organizations I've done consulting for. I've seen this through, what I see in the enterprise sales forum, a community I host here in New York. And it was happening en masse. So we had to start at the beginning. So her first question was, okay, Joe, you're talking about this thing called business acumen. What is that? Right? So we had a start at the beginning, and she came from a good school, to your point around college educated people, but it was the very first question. I said, okay, great. Let's think of it this way. You're going to go do research, and the first thing you're going to look for is a minimum of three ways that this company makes money, and a minimum of three ways that this company either spends money or loses money. And if we can figure that out, then we'll have an understanding of what this company is doing in terms of how they operate as a business, and we'll start from there. Right? Like, I don't have an MBA, right? You don't need an MBA to figure out what business acumen is. It's just, what are they doing in the marketplace to make money, and how are they spending money? Mm-hmm. Right? She said, great. You know, where do I start to look? And we started look. This is where, you know, my questions around the higher education will be left for another podcast. But magically, I had to show her what this thing called the Wall Street Journal was, right? And there's, on the front cover of the Wall Street Journal, there's this thing called What's News. It's now a tab on the website. I'm dating myself with paper newspaper. There's this thing called Squawk Box, where CEOs are on TV pitching their stock to Wall Street, right? There's this thing called Financial News, which you can simply look up in an SEC filing or a Yahoo financial page to get an understanding of what that business is. And it was very much an educational process of saying, hey, rather than tailing your outbound message based on what university this person went to, let's actually talk about this person's business and their specific role in this business. And I didn't care how the notes came back. I've been doing this with SDR teams now for a number of years. I don't care how they do the research. It can come to me in a Slack channel. It can come to me in a Word document. It can come to me in an email, but I do want to see it documented, because I want to see the links. I want quick access to the links. I want to see how they worded things. And that gives me a very specific thing for us to work on together when we start wording the messages, to get it right when we put it out there to market.
Gotcha. So it's three things that they're three ways they make money, mm-hmm. three ways they can save money. We're looking for executive buyers. And then you want her to document that whole process of, here's what you found, here's where you found it.
Yep.
It's like, I think we're going back to doing like elementary school level, like book reports, or, you know, although I used to have to use encyclopedias because there was no Wikipedia. So once she'd gone and done this research, what do we do with it? What's next?
Yeah, sure. It's a really smart question. The end product in that meeting that happened 48 hours after the assignment, the SDRs pitched me as to what that message would look like. So, and I'm doing that for a couple of reasons. One, I want them to test out that message in a very safe place to fail. Mm-hmm. And they don't know that that's what's going on, but I'm actually building up confidence within them as they say the message for the first time, second time publicly out loud. Two, we work on that together. And part of the reason I want to see it in a document, if I'm lucky enough to be sitting next to that inside sales team, we work on it together. If not, we do a Zoom just like this, or a screen share or something. And that lets me highlight very particular sentences, and we break it down sentence by sentence. If I don't understand something, there's a pretty good shot, maybe, that the executive that will receive that message might not understand either. So we can start to play with words on a sentence by sentence level to really help them to structure these messages and get that out into the marketplace. And then I say, look, you're off, let's go, let's get out into market, right? So it's usually a 30-minute meeting. I can usually bang those out very quickly. And we tailor five messages in that 30-minute meeting. Making sure that the business structure is right, making sure they're using some of those business words they found in the right way. And then it's off to the races, and they leave pumped up, right? They've done something, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't a qualified meeting that they put on the calendar that day. They've actually done really good work, and instilling that level of confidence gets them motivated and confident to go deliver that message out to the marketplace.
That sounds great. Just a point of clarity, you said they're writing the message. At this stage, your rep had been with you for 90 days, so she already has a good idea of what the templates are that you guys would typically use. If this was a new rep, would they have an idea of what those templates are ahead of time? Or are you saying, hey, go do some research or write an email from scratch?
Yeah, I think you're bringing up a very good point. And it's not even if it's a new rep, it's do they have outbound muscle memory yet, right? So sometimes some of our organizations will promote an inbound SDR to an outbound SDR, right? And And those muscles are very different. If you're calling on inbound leads, there's a very specific script. They've given you their phone number. You don't have to go looking for the phone number, right? And there's a very specific play to that. How messages are received from somebody that's not expecting your call has to look very different. It has to feel very different. Mm-hmm. So those are things that we work on as well. So sometimes we'll take a step back. Sometimes we'll take a step back if we need to on what the muscle memory needs to look like on an outbound process. And sometimes we'll take a step back as to what businesses actually look like. So rather than talking about our products, our solutions, whatever, in those meetings, those are the ones I will use a whiteboard and I will literally draw the org chart. And we'll start to talk about the named executives that we can pick apart in aggregate. What does the CFO care about? What does the CMO care about? What does the CIO care about? And it gives them clues where they can start figuring out how they can take that critical exercise, the one that we just mentioned, and we get back to some fundamental understanding of either outbound or what an org chart might look like.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, this sounds like some amazing research. And it sounds like a process that's amazing for the, say, Fortune 500, because they're featured in, you know, Inc. magazine, they're in Fortune, they're on the Wall Street Journal, their CEOs are on TV. How is this going to work for the majority of us, or maybe not the majority of us, but for the rest of us who are selling to SMBs, or however you want to define it, but a market that isn't the Fortune 500?
Yeah, really, really smart, nuanced question. And I think it's really important. In fact, I got a phone call today. Guy I used to work with a year ago, he called me up to, you know, wish me happy new year. Really nice of him to do that. He had that exact problem. So we were selling to enterprise and in a former business. We just saw the revenue potential in a down market play for us, or an SMB play for us. And we decided to go at Series C, Series D, Series E type companies where we felt that they had cash to spend, but there's not amount of public research available in these companies because they're not regulated to provide it. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is we use the same concept, but we also found a very big behavioral shift as well. So this rep, he had gone through the exercise that I mentioned, lined up amazing meetings for us. Like, this guy was getting into C-level executives at Fortune 100 companies by going through this process. When we moved into down market, he struggled in the first month. And we said, okay, we got to change this up a little bit. We got to change the process. We got to change up our language. A couple of things that we noticed: behavior was way different for us in SMB than it was in enterprise. What do I mean by that? If a message got through to a C-level executive in an enterprise organization, it typically looked like, "Thank you for your message. Jane received it. I'm her EA. Jane would like to meet with you. How do you look 6 weeks from now?" And we would schedule an appointment. If we got a C-level executive on the phone at an SMB, they said, "Well, you got me on the phone. You have 10 minutes. What do you got?" Right? And that behavior is very different. And that the sales skill set to manage those two different processes needs to look very different. But also the information, to your point, is very disparate. So what we found in SMBs, while there wasn't a wealth of Wall Street Journal, Squawk Box, Financial News, 10Ks, annual reports, those companies were actually pretty simple in their organizational structure. They have one key offering. They position it very well. They don't have 10 different business units. They don't have complexity in their org structures as much as an enterprise account. And they've got brilliant marketing people in the SMBs. So they were pushing their mission statements or their vision statements directly on their website. So we found like a telco company that we really wanted to get into. We love selling to telco. And it said, "We at XYZ Telecom Company, we're connecting the workplace and giving people the connectivity and the insights that they need to do their job." So we took that and used it to our advantage. A subject line that used to work for us in enterprise was increasing product XYZ sales after your most recent earnings call. That didn't get anywhere in SMB. What got us someplace in SMB was a subject line of, "We're brothers from another mother," right? Very behaviorally different, very different structure. And we proved that we did our research by saying, "Hey, we know that XYZ telco company, you're trying to connect the world of people to make sure they do their jobs better." Next paragraph, "We do the same thing, but within your sales department. Can we have a meeting for 30 minutes?" Right? So it was proving that we did our research. It was tailoring our message. It was showing them that we understood what they wanted to do. And we gave them context to ingest what our complex message was against their business. Meetings took off and we were able to really get into SMB that way.
Well, That's amazing. So you're, for each of these companies, are you spending a whole 48 hours researching them, even if they're SMB?
No, I mean, nobody would hit their targets, right?
I've researched three companies this week.
I haven't sold a darn thing, but look at my research box. You know, the guy who I mentioned earlier, his name's Kevin Walsh, right? Great, great guy. He was an SDR for us for a long time.
I just poached him. Yeah, thanks.
No problem. So he's a great guy. He started off as a copier salesman, riding elevators down buildings, trying to sell like copiers, right? Like not fresh out of college, but understood the grind that's required in sales. Right? Mm. But you don't need business acumen as much to sell copiers, right? It's a complex sale. It's a hard sale. It's a very competitive sale, but we're not talking about balance sheets and 10Ks. We're talking about volume of output on a, dare I say, more transactional sale, right? Mm. But so we had to go through this process, and he was on the phone with him today. You know, he can do this now in 15 minutes. He can pick an account, find three named executives, understand what their 10K is, understand what the financial news is saying, and he can get five messages out there in the marketplace where customers feel like they're responding to somebody that really wants to do business with them. And it scales over time. And that's the whole idea. If you teach, this is like the teach them how to fish moment, right? If you teach them how to go through the critical thinking exercise, you find scale that way rather than finding the scale of locking people in a room and feeling like you did a lot of work in the know.
Gotcha. So you're just starting to talk about how do we make this scale, right? Because it's great for, okay, we've gone and done one for 48 hours. Now you're getting down to, you know, one or two a day. You've got your rep your rep who you've trained and been working beside for a long time. He can do this in a few minutes. What's the steps in between? How did you get there other than just like sprinkle some effort on it?
Yeah, I think two things. One is, it's almost like CEOs and boards of publicly traded companies have the same playbook to run the same 12 plays, in my opinion. You can go through business model transformation, new product innovation, customer centricity, global expansion. It doesn't even matter what industry you're in. What I find is when you read the key three strategies that any company is working on, it's basically from a menu of about 12, right? So once the SDRs start to see that process and they start to realize that, they're finding scale and what messages have worked in the past. And then two is, if you do some really great research on a named account, on a dream account that you really care about in a vertical, and then you start to look at the number two on your list and the number three on your list, you start to see based on their business models, they kind of sort of operate the same way. The language that they use is different. The types of markets they might be going out after are a little bit different, but they're basically focused on a lot of the same stuff. Technology innovation that's impacting that industry, the competitive battles that those industries might be in, things along those lines. So while it looks like a really hard project for 48 hours right up front, all of a sudden the seven named competitors in that vertical are basically receiving kind of sort of the same message, now just nuanced for the individuality of the individual named executive or the brand message they're pushing into market.
Hmm. That's really interesting. I think it's a good maybe follow-up. We always save this piece to end after the interview or after the show ends, but we'll get you to see if you want to do a blog post for us. Would you be interested in doing a post on the 12 key strategies that every, you know, the 12 key, I don't know, generic CEO playbook? Here's the 12 key strategies that you can expect, and like, here's how to identify them.
Yeah, shoot. Now I got to come up with 12, but yeah, sure. We can do that for sure.
Pretty sure you said six.
So. Yeah. Much better.
Beautiful. So you sort of develop this at scale. I imagine you've got, you know, some coaching, some onboarding, some documentation in terms of like, this is what to look for. This is how to do it. Tell me about some mistakes that you've made in the past when trying to, you know, help train reps on this acumen and make it scale.
Yeah, I think we teed up one earlier, which was assuming that they know the muscle, what I keep calling the muscle memory for outbound, right? If they don't know what a great cadence looks like, or they've had a different structure, or they've never seen anybody draw an org chart of what a company looks like on a piece of paper, those are fundamentals that you can't miss. And so I've had to rewind a little bit, like regroup next week, say, okay, like my fault, like we shouldn't have focused on that right away. Like here's some stuff we should work on. That's that's really big and really important. I think you got to test that out on an individual by individual basis before you do that exercise. I think another mistake I've made is me not at some point saying, these are the five types of people or the three types of executives that I want to have a meeting with. Mm-hmm. You got to put like some Reese's pieces down the hallway a little bit, right? As much as this is a critical thinking exercise, like you got to give some clues. So what do I mean by that? Like here I am at Calibra, our number one customer is a chief data officer, but we've got multiple use cases from multiple executives, CMOs, chief legal counsel, head of innovation, head of analytics. And I can go on and on and on. I know where we play really well. And you know, helping a young salesperson that hasn't gone through the motion yet of understanding what those different functional areas care about, why I would personally be excited to have those meetings, why she and I can be a great team around something like that. Like those are things that I've missed steps on along the way. Mm-hmm. And those are mistakes that I wish I could have taken back.
So if you're a new manager at a new organization, what sort of steps would you take to sort of help? Like, would you document this, or like if somebody doesn't have this, how do you make sure that your company is good at that, or you get better at this as a team, and that you're not sort of teaching the same thing over and over again?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never gotten that far. I think it's a really fair point to document this. I've never managed a massive SDR team. I've never managed a massive inside sales team. I've had really small teams. I've been lucky to work at like really cool companies where I've even inherited a small team, or I'm working with a small team, and that keeps it personal and I'm able to put personal flavor on that. I've written a playbook here or a playbook there for SDR teams, but I've never really documented this process. And you know, the title regional sales manager is the very fancy word for sales guy here at Calibra, right? So I'm not managing an SDR team here. I'm not managing an inside sales team here. I'm working with them a little bit, certainly keeps me focused on what I have to do in my job, as compared to your really good point of actually documenting this and managing a team around it.
Mm-hmm. It's great that as an RSM, you're going through this effort and helping your SDR teams. You know, any advice for other maybe account execs that are listening that might work with an SDR? That may or may not be a direct report to them.
So I did the job. I started off as an internal when I was 19. That's what we call an SDR now. I was an internal qualifying leads at a brokerage house on Wall Street. And then when I was 22, I took my first real job. I was lucky enough to work at a company called CEB. I learned this process because they're in the business of selling business research out to companies, right? So rather than learning a complex or advanced technology, I was learning how business companies operate just by this sheer offering that CB sold in the marketplace. So I had a head start, but I also had great mentors along the way. I was not their junior sales assistant. I was their partner in the process. So I got to work with guys like Tim Nealis, still a buddy of mine to this day, who he really made me feel like I was a partner in the process. And I wanted to do good there, right? I was able to work with him and, you know, get him the meetings that he wanted. I was proud of what I was doing. I felt like I was competing in the deal as compared to just scheduling meetings and moving on to the next one. So the way I've internalized that is often a big way in which, you know, we position the role to SDRs. When I was hiring for SDRs at MarketBridge, I was telling them, they were asking me what's the day in a life? Like, okay, great. Great question. That's a really smart question you asked. Let me tell you what the next year is. And because the day in a life is going to change every single day based on your accounts, based on what our initiatives are. But in a year, you're going to do three things. You're going to spend your time just learning this job and getting to a point where you consistently hit quota. And let's call that the first hill that you need to cross or cover or whatever. The next thing you need to do is you need to actively work with your AE to close deals and pipeline that you, tip of the spear, put in play in the first place. Like, you know that account, you did the research, you're excited about that. Like, help your AE close that deal. And then the third thing you need to do, by the nature of your job, you will have more customer conversations than anybody else in this company, including the CEO, just by the sheer nature of your job. You need to proactively bring ideas back to this business on how we can grow the business, innovate our business, and improve the business. And just to give you a rough approximation, that's about 3 months. That's about 6 months. That's about 9 to 12 months. Right. And in my opinion, if you're still doing this job in 12 months, we failed you, because we want this to be a springboard into you being the next great sales rep at this company. Mm-hmm. But that's what the next three hills need to look like. And it gives them something like really excited to be a part of. Right? It helps them cut through the mundane activities of being an inside sales rep, where you're just calling and calling and calling, or emailing and emailing and emailing. And the folks that attach to that, they become our best employees, right? It's an excellent breeding ground for folks that are going to do really great things within the company, because they believe that they can change and shape the way the company operates. And we want to empower that and instill that.
You said something interesting that I want to just dig in a bit more on. You mentioned that as an SDR, you'd recommend them to get in and help the AE close the deal. How have you seen that work?
Yeah.
How can I, as an SDR, sort of help this account exec who's, you know, 10x more experienced than I am?
Yeah. Sales executives can be lazy people. Sometimes it's as easy as managing up, right? I was listening to the call that we set up with XYZ company. She said, call me back in April. It's April 15th. Did you call her? Right? Something as simple as that keeps you excited, motivated, pushing on the deal that you're working on. Managing up is a simple thing, but all of a sudden you're ingrained in the deal. You're working on the deal. The other thing we used to do is build trip packs for product support or customer support. So this really important person from our company is going to ride shotgun, do the live meeting with your sales executive. Why don't you go ahead and prepare that senior executive from your own business as to what they're walking into? Make sure the address is correct. Make sure that they're on time. Make sure that they feel part of the deal. Make sure that they see all the notes. Print all that stuff out for them. Right? I know I'm dating myself again, but like literally handing that report and saying like, hey, thank you. Like, we figured out a time for you to go to this deal, and this is why I'm excited about it, and this is why I really want this account. Mm-hmm. That's energy. That's infectious, right? And those are like little tiny things, but all of a sudden you're really ingrained in the deal and really helping the team to push that deal forward.
Mm. And if you have more sort of at stake mentally, if you're more engaged in it, I guess chances are you're going to be more motivated to get more of them, as opposed to just throwing something over the fence and being like, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully I get my commission check.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I think of it, right? Like I had an army of three SDRs scheduling appointments just for me, right? How do you keep them all motivated? Right? If they feel like they're throwing leads over the wall and I'm doing a meeting, I'm not following up, right? Like, how many more months are they going to do that for me? And now I have to go out and rehire and train and all that stuff. And I've been very lucky to, you know, have great teams that stick around for a long time. But, you know, it does take some mentoring. It does take some coaching. It does take some active involvement. You do have to create an environment where it's okay for them to manage up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, then they start to get really excited about what they want to do. They get really excited about wanting to stay in your company. They get really excited about what's ahead for them in their AE role. And you start making magic. And it's just a great way to build a real strong relationship where you're all winning together.
Beautiful. I want to tie it in, or tie it all back together, just to close out one last question here.
Yeah, sure.
We talked a lot about, you know, developing business acumen. Can you talk to me about the impact, some of the results that you've seen this have on reps and their performance as a team or as an individual?
Yeah, we saw immediate impact in attainment to quota. Attainment to quota for us was qualified meetings set within a given month, set and conducted. We were typically setting that number for our business, the way we operate, around 15 per month per outbound SDR.
Okay.
We saw folks that were at risk, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation, go from like, it's the 15th of the month and they've got 7 on the books, to getting to 18 and 20 within that 2-week span. Right. Because folks were saying, wow, like, you must understand my business. Yeah, I want to talk to you and not the 50 other people that cold called me today. Mm-hmm. So immediate hockey stick ramp to improvement on quota, and then sustaining that level over periods of time. That was great. Our retention rates were amazing across this process. So we were lucky to keep folks within the business, not always within the role. And that's okay. As I mentioned earlier, like, I view the role as a 12-month job, and then I want you to be the next great employee in our company, and whatever you want to do, hopefully in sales, but We were able to create marketing roles for folks that went through this process. We were able to create channel partnership roles for folks that went through this process, because everybody in the company was excited about working with that individual SDR. And so we were able to create the business case to give them opportunities to take what they learned and apply it to other parts of our business that would improve our business. So those are the two that are most readily available and that, you know, I was personally most excited about.
That's awesome. I can't see any better way of building junior talent to seed the rest of your company with than by getting a bunch of young, smart people, investing in training them on, you know, learning about the customer and then putting them in frontline contact with the customer and prospects for a year to see how the machine really turns.
Yeah.
You're creating these future all-stars and seeding the rest of your company with them.
I mean, that's the idea, right? You know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but that's really cool. And that's, you know, that's personally motivating for me. Like, I had a ton of great coaching, I had a ton of great mentoring, a ton of people that really invested in me when I was way too young to be put into way too big of jobs, right? I was a divisional head of marketing for a publicly traded company at 27. On paper, I should have never, ever had that job, right? I shouldn't have. But, you know, I had some folks that were, you know, taking some bets and, you know, really fostering a relationship where I wanted to be a part of something. And that's really hard to replicate. When you got it, then it's something that, you know, keep in the business. So fostering that, creating that, that's, you just want a team that wants to win, right? And if you got a team that wants to win, they'll do really great stuff for your business.
Just going to let that sink in just for a minute there. Joe, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today. Now, you mentioned you prepared a haiku for the audience. I'm messing with you.
I know, I was doing the math in my head. I was like, I think that's 575, if I'm not mistaken.
It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, don't have one.
No haiku. All right, well, maybe next time. Thanks for coming on the show. I feel like I learned a ton. This has been great. One last note just before we go. Everybody that's listening, hopefully you're not driving while you're hearing this, or maybe you are driving. So if you happen to be driving, just wait until you park the car. Jump on iTunes, hit the subscribe. If you feel like we earned it, give us a 5-star rating. If you feel like we didn't earn it, shoot me an email, Colin@predictablerevenue, Colin with two L's @predictablerevenue.com. Let me know how we can earn that 5-star rating for you. If you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe link. It really helps us grow the audience of the podcast and find more great guests like Joe. All right, Joe, thanks once again.
No, thank you, Colin. I had a ton of fun. You asked great questions. Go out there and close sellers. Happy New Year. Talk to you all soon.
Sounds great. See you all next week.